Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, Laurinella Bahidosa here. Thank you so much for tuning in. It is currently It's Sunday, October 25th, 2015, 3:30 p.m. Lauren L. of the High Desert is brought to you by Lauren L. Online Marketing. That's my personal online marketing services. I provide service in social media outreach, email marketing, and ultimately developing the outreach methods for your business or service, whatever you do. If you are interested in that, then please contact me at growwithlaurenl.com. And Grow with Lauren L. is really what keeps this show going. So thank you for contacting me and working with me. Also, I'm offering advertising and promotional opportunities for those of you in the area and even beyond. It honestly doesn't matter where you are. If you fall in line with what Lauren L. of the High Desert represents, then I am happy to work with you to promote you and your service or whatever it is that you want to promote. You can contact me directly through laurenlofthehighdesert.com to learn more information about that. And here's something new that I'm doing. I'm actually offering to speak at events in the area here in the Morongo Basin or down in the Coachella Valley. I primarily speak about effective communication, reaching out to people. I provide real-life examples. How did I get to where I am today in communicating with people online, and how can you use these strategies to promote whatever it is that you're trying to promote? So I'm offering to speak at various events here locally as well as nationally and even internationally. If you have an event in Europe and you're interested in having me speak, I'm open to long-distance traveling. And that would be something really great to do. So you can also contact me to learn more about my speaking options. And I'm happy to speak with you. Also, here's some more information. It is the one-year anniversary for Lauren L. of the High Desert. I'm very happy to announce this. I started Lauren L. of the High Desert back in October of 2014. And the growth and the awareness that has come to Lauren L. of the High Desert has just been phenomenal. To have almost 300 likes on Facebook and to be connected with many of the leading organizations in the Morongo Basin and to constantly be making connections as time goes on, it's just been really amazing to work on this project and to see it grow. And so I look forward in the future to seeing it grow continuously and to also really become more of a voice for environmental conservation. So congratulations, Lauren L. of the High Desert, for first year anniversary. I'm starting the show today with a piece of history coming from a book published by the Morongo Basin Historical Society. This is a 100-year project book from 1910 to 2010. It has a lot of really cool pieces of history about the Morongo Basin. You can pick it up at the Old School House in 29 Palms. It's only $5. So the piece of history I'm sharing with you today is coming from the year 1940, and the title of the article is Little Church of the Desert. And here's what it says. In 1929, a community group began meeting as a church in the bathhouse at American Legion grounds. At the first service, the collection plate held one button, six bottle caps, and 13 pennies. In 1935, incorporation papers were signed to form Little Church of the Desert, and a building program began. With support from local service organizations and individuals, the Presbyterian Church began in 1940. Minister Cap Williamson declared in his sermon at the first service in the new building, "This must be more than a church house on the hill. It can and will be the spiritual and cultural center of 29 Palms." When the first Catholic priest arrived in town, Williamson handed him a key and offered the use of the building. Several other denominations also met there, until they could build their own churches. Little School of the Desert, a Christian preschool, was begun in 1973. The facility continues to be a meeting place for several community groups. That's the church history of 29 Palms. It's really interesting because when I first moved here to the Morongo Basin over a year ago, I was told that this area is predominantly religious. But as I've been here, I feel otherwise. Maybe it's because of the people that I hang out with, the people that I have been drawn to. It's actually a relatively scientific community, in my opinion, and there's a lot of people here with spiritual backgrounds. It's really interesting. It's not cliche religion that I personally have been accustomed to in other parts of Southern California. Moving on to events, here are some events coming up that I encourage all of you to attend because these organizations and groups do great things in the community. On November 1st, Transition Joshua Tree will be holding a general membership meeting. It will be from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. November 1st at the Yucca Mesa Community Center in Yucca Valley. There will be a potluck and food demonstration. There will be teams giving reports about activities that they have conducted, and other great information will be shared as well. And also, if you don't retain this information about the events and you want to go to a website, you can go to laurenlofthehighdesert.com, go to the events section, and you can actually see all of the information I'm sharing with you right now. The Morongo Basin Historical Society will be hosting a field trip at the Joshua Tree Retreat Center on November 4th, starting at 10 a.m. This is $15 for non-members. If you are a member of the Morongo Basin Historical Society, it's $10. You will be able to tour the grounds and some of the buildings, which is the largest collection of Lloyd Wright buildings in the world. It is led by Executive Director Victoria Gilmoyne. Learn about founder of the Institution of Mental Physics, John Dingle. That should be a lot of fun. Again, that's at the Joshua Tree Retreat Center, November 4th. Also taking place on November 4th is Sustainable Solar Energy Talk, starting at 5 p.m. at the Beatnik Lounge. Here's some extra detail about this event. 350 Joshua Tree invites you to this Buck Talk, which is free at the Beatnik from 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday, November 4th. We'll have tea and some goodies there too. This presentation will answer some of your questions. We look forward to seeing you there. Buck Buckley will discuss how to get free energy from the sun. This is a Buck Talk, and it will be accompanied by a PowerPoint presentation and a question and answer period at the end. The event is free, and donations are appreciated for the Beatnik Lounge. RSVP on Facebook if possible. And Buck Buckley has been giving this presentation across the Morongo Basin and even outside of the Morongo Basin. So if you can attend this, that would be really great. On November 5th, there will be a Joshua Basin Water District tour. It starts at 9 a.m., and it is requested that you RSVP for space. This should be a really interesting tour because you'll be able to tour the water facilities in the area, see where water is retained, how it is filtered and cleaned. And I personally have been on a tour of a water treatment plant in Simi Valley, California, which was a really great experience. I still remember it to this day. So if you can contact the Joshua Basin Water District, you can claim your seat on this tour that, again, is November 5th, starting at 9 a.m. And later on in the month of November, the Palm Springs International Health and Fitness Festival will be taking place on November 12th through the 15th. I have a lot of information on my website about it. I don't want to get all into the detail right now, but this should be a lot of fun. I've already communicated with the people putting on this event, and they're getting a lot of different speakers, different demonstrations, and there is a fee for it. So you can go to my website, laurenlofthehighdesert.com, to learn more about it. That's all I have for the events right now. If I miss something that you think should be on my calendar, something that emphasizes conservation efforts in the area, health events, or related events such as that, then you can contact me through laurenlofthehighdesert.com, and I really appreciate it. So I just want to go over some events that I've been to recently in the High Desert. A lot happened this past week, so let me just get into it really quickly. Starting from the top, there was a water board meeting held on Wednesday, October 21st, 2015. This was a water board meeting at the Joshua Basin Water District here in Joshua Tree, and the primary subject of this meeting or the primary agenda item was voting on a will serve letter that was presented by NextEra Energy. NextEra Energy has been attempting to build a solar project at the Roy Williams Airport here in Joshua Tree. It's a 20 megawatt power project. And so NextEra had presented a will serve letter back in July of 2015. Some of you may have remembered this. It was presented at the same time that Mira Mesa Housing had presented their will serve letter to the board of directors at the Joshua Basin Water District. So in July of 2015, NextEra Energy had been turned down because they owned 10 parcels, but they were trying to join all 10 of them. Only 9 out of 10 had been joined. So the board of directors turned down the will serve letter telling them to join all 10 parcels. And so NextEra finally reintroduced the will serve letter October. Again, it was October 21st, 2015. And this time NextEra had emphasized that still only 9 out of 10 acres were joined, but the 10th acre wouldn't be using water. So that was excluded from the will serve letter. And additionally, what was interesting when NextEra presented the will serve letter was that they offered to pay the water district $30,000, claiming that they would help with purchasing water. And this was ultimately not well accepted by the board of directors. They mentioned that this isn't necessary to present $30,000 in a will serve letter. And some people, there was public comment that went to the extent of claiming it as a bribe. And so that was interesting to see at the meeting. But ultimately, the board of directors did vote in favor of the will serve letter to NextEra Energy, 4-1. The only director who voted against it was Rebecca Unger, who, if you go to the meetings, you'll see she's a very passionate director, very outspoken. She speaks her opinion, and she also questions. She questions a lot more compared to the other directors. So it's always fun to see her speak at the meetings. But ultimately, the will serve letter is saying that NextEra can access the water when they begin building their project. But the thing is that the will serve letter also, or NextEra, must adhere to water restrictions. So currently there are water use restrictions because of the drought that's in place. And so NextEra can't even access the water until the drought restrictions have been lifted. So there's a lot of bureaucratic processes going on here. They did receive access from the water board, but again, they have to wait for the drought restrictions. And the thing is that they're hoping to build by March 2016. Will that happen? We'll have to see. It's only a stepping stone in the process of developing this project. That same night, Tom O'Keefe had a birthday at the Beatnik Lounge, so I want to say happy birthday to Tom O'Keefe. Many of you have probably heard his name in relation to the banning of bobcat trapping in California, and I barely moved here again over a year ago that the bobcat banning process was in place with Tom O'Keefe and many local residents here in the area, and so it was interesting to see them actually be successful, Tom O'Keefe and, again, other participants here, in banning bobcat trapping in the state of California. And they really put a lot of work into banning bobcat trapping. And they, Tom O'Keefe and others went up to Fortuna, California, which is way up north, close to a 10-hour drive to get up there. So, again, it was really nice to hang out with Tom O'Keefe and share some pictures from the event. On Friday, October 23rd, the Yucca Mesa Improvement Association hosted their monthly, and this is always fun at the Yucca Mesa Improvement Association because people bring in all kinds of foods. And I personally always bring my own plate, my own eating utensils, because I just prefer to cut back on waste, and then it's less expense to the YMIA if they don't have to provide so many plates and eating utensils to people. But the highlight of this meeting, and really the highlight of the YMIA potlucks in general, is that they always host a lecture by a local group or organization that informs residents about important issues in the area. So on this particular potluck, the invited speaker was it was Jim Dimoff of the San Bernardino County Fire Department. And he spoke about fire safety and the residential awareness program. And this is really important because we know that fire is such a pressing issue here in Southern California, California as a whole, really. And he did mention that he has been working in the Morongo Basin since the Sawtooth Fire in 2006. So he is very, I would say, experienced in the fire field. So here are some points that I did take away from the presentation that some of you might be interested in hearing about. San Bernardino County Fire also consists of San Bernardino County Fire Emergency. I didn't get what this means, but EMS. It's basically a private ambulance company that services the Morongo Basin. So if you are picked up by an ambulance or you see an ambulance, it is under San Bernardino County Fire. There are restrictions on residential burning. This is good to know. You can't just go out in your backyard and burn whatever you want. You actually have to burn material. If you want to burn material, you have to get a burn permit, be obtained by residents who call into the San Bernardino County Fire Department. And you can't just burn on any day either. You have to burn on what is called the burn day. So you call the San Bernardino County Fire Department, and they'll let you know. Burn days are determined by wind conditions and other factors. Sometimes they recommend that you don't burn anything because fire starting may have higher chances. And also it is said that you can't burn anything that you want. It's illegal to burn trash and treated wood, believe it or not. You can really only burn vegetation. Small fires are allowed, no bonfires. A mutual aid system is used where multiple fire stations will cover a certain area that is in need. So, for example, fire trucks from the lower desert will come up here to the higher desert if necessary. If there is a fire in the lower desert, then high desert fire trucks might go down there. So everyone works with this mutual aid system. 90% of calls to the fire department are actually for medical purposes. It's very uncommon that fires are reported. Most people are in need of the ambulance. Newer homes are built with fire-resistant materials, such as lightweight tiles. Older homes are more of a problem because they are built with more wood, thick wood materials, and so this can be very flammable. It's not good for when there's a fire. It was also mentioned that, a lot of us, we want to store wood close to our home, because it just makes it easy to access, but you should actually store wood away from your home because a pile of wood can actually be a source of fuel for a fire, and you do not want that kind of fuel being right next to your home if you have a fire. Cars often start home fires, so it is ideal to keep a car away from the home if possible. This was funny because someone at the potluck had asked, where should I put my car if a fire starts at my home? Should I keep it away from my home? But it was actually mentioned that cars are more likely to start a fire than a fire starting in the home itself. And so if you have your car close to your home and it does start on fire, you can actually end up with your house being on fire because your car being so close to your home. That's all I have about that information. If you would like to know more or see more of this information, you can go to my website. I did write an article about this. And finally, the last event that I went to was a native seed collecting and propagating workshop that was hosted by Mojave Desert Land Trust on October 24th, 2015. That was a Saturday. And this was, but I did have to RSVP. So be aware of that with Mojave Desert Land Trust events. At this particular event, the presentation was hosted by Marina Wagner, who is a Mojave Desert Land Trust native plants intern and a master of landscape at Cal Poly Pomona. This was actually a pretty packed event. It was held in a somewhat small room, but there were multiple tables set up and it was packed. There were many attendees at this particular event, and each table contained a bag of native seeds. I didn't get all the name of the seeds, but the particular table that I was sitting at had willow seeds. And so there was a presentation that was given, but at the end of the presentation, every group at each table was able to work on their seeds. Some of the seeds were in pods, so we had to take the pods apart, get the seeds out, and prepare them for propagation. Well, our other tables had different seeds and had materials that needed to be taken off of them. So that was really cool to see. And some people hopped around from table to table to see the different seeds and what the treatment process is. And so really quick, I'm going to go over a few points from the presentation that some of you might find to be interesting. I did post pictures on Facebook, so if you would like to see photos of the seeds and the slideshow, then you can see it there at Lauren L. of the High Desert. So here's, again, some points from the presentation. Why use native plants? Because they need less water, less maintenance, and are resistant to insects, and they have other great features as well. Seeds tend to be mature April through September. Seeds fall when the plant is tapped. So that was interesting to learn that it's important to be aware of seeds on plants. Again, if you tap a plant and the seed falls, then it's prepared, obviously. Mature seeds look dry and they also rattle inside the husk. If the seed has a green color, looks more fresh, then that seed is not mature and should stay where it is. Seeds should be stored in a hot, dry place for 4 to 6 weeks. Pre-soaking and leaching can trigger germination. It also helps remove inhibitors in seeds. Soaking time depends on the seed itself. Scarification is a process that breaks up hard seed coat so the seed can germinate. Oxygen and moisture will be able to insert the seed. Sandpaper scarification tool can be used for smaller seeds. Manually doing this one seed at a time is a slow but effective process and also safe. Stratification is the use of moisture and temperature to overcome seed dormancy. It occurs naturally in winter. When planting, soil tends to be sand, potting soil, and perlite all mixed together, and that's a two parts sand, one part potting soil, two parts perlite. Sand is washed concrete sand, so that's a specific type of sand. This is preferred because of the texture. It's not really fine. It was said that you don't want really fine sand because it can collect more water. It can become heavy and just it's not great for planting desert plants. Perlite is great for aeration of soil. If fertilizer is used, it is recommended that osmocyte is used as fertilizer. It's important to grow deep roots so the plant can reach the water source. And so there were various images given of plants being planted in long pipes specifically so that the roots can begin to grow downward. You should wait 8 to 12 months before putting the plants in the ground. It is ideal to plant during rainy seasons, such as fall or early spring. After 2 to 3 years, plants need little to no irrigation. And it was also noted that it is ideal to plant a large number of plants because it can be challenging to successfully plant a desert plant and to have it survive. So try to plant as many as you can and see how many survive in the long run. That's all I have for local news at this point in time, but I will go over some other news that I found to be interesting. The story is coming from Z1077. It was published on October 22nd, 2015, and the title is Yucca Valley Sewer Charges Will Be on Property Tax Bills. So I know this is a big topic in Yucca Valley, which is the sewage system being installed in the area. And so it was mentioned that the state revolving fund, which is loaning the High Desert Water District $145 million for the Yucca Valley Sewer Project, is requiring the water district to determine how it will bill its customers before the fund will release the loan to the water district. It was said that the High Desert Water District voted unanimously 4-0 last night that the future water service, sewer service charge will be placed on customers' property tax bills instead of on their monthly water bills. The annual sewer service charges will not appear on property tax bill for 3 years, though. Director Saran Graham thought billing via the property tax bills would help seniors and low income. The majority of them felt it was the best for them for their budgeting. Sir Sheldon Ho said it was the most fair way to bill the service charges and likens the sewer charges to water bills. When people don't pay their water bill, everybody else in the town has to pay their water bill, and it's not fair. President Bob Statham said putting the sewer service charges on property tax bills would keep the sewer rates lower. In the long run, it's less expensive to put it on the property tax. If we don't put it on property taxes, the charge will be slightly higher because we'll have bad debt expenses and the additional staff time to do on a monthly basis has a cost associated with it. So that's for those of you in the Yucca Valley area who are facing this. And this is something really to be aware of wherever you are in the Morongo Basin, because it is predicted in the future that sewage systems will have to be installed in other parts of the Morongo Basin as time goes on, as the population increases and population demand comes into play. So it's good to read into these subjects just to know how it's being addressed in Yucca Valley and possibly how it will be addressed in the future. That's all I have for now. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you would like to know more about what I've been saying here on the broadcast, please visit my website at laurenlofthehighdesert.com. You can also email me directly. You can let me know if you have events that I should share, something in mind, something important that I should cover. You can also contact me about promotion and advertising opportunities. I have a lot of options available from here on my broadcast to my website. And I really appreciate you for reaching out to me. Again, that's all I have. Thank you so much. I hope everyone has a great week.